Hello and welcome to the FBC podcast. Four mates, two bets each, and one eight-game accumulator each weekend. As always, I'm joined by Justin.
Hello.
And Nathan.
How do you do, mate? All right?
Yeah, not bad. Well, I'd be a lot better if we'd had more than three out of eight last week.
But poor week last week.
Pretty poor.
Yeah, and I have to take a lot of the responsibilities there, as we're going to find out. But I'm also going to point to a few factors that led to that three out of eight.
Yeah.
So should we get started with mine?
Yeah, you sound like you're about to read off a script, mate. Go for it.
Get straight.
You prepared something here?
Well, no, because
get it out there. Vent.
I'm going to vent, okay? Now, it became quite public that there was a disagreement within the FBC last week. The wild card disagreed with my bets.
Twitter storm.
I disagreed with his bets, and it kind of went public. He disagreed particularly with my Northampton bet. I disagreed with his Rochdale bet. And I have to hold my hand up. I was a little bit unfair about Rochdale's form in the podcast last week, but it just wasn't beneficial. I didn't help anyone.
I think you had kind of dubbed them as nothing better than mid-table, correct?
I had, yeah, and that was a mistake. But my point is this, and it leads to how, at least in my view of the wild card, I have a theory on the wild card.
Mm-hmm. Another theory.
He can't take part in a podcast because it would be detrimental to his public image, correct?
Yeah, we spoke last week, about the fact that he may have been a professional footballer, still in the game in some way.
Referee.
Referee.
Howard Webb.
Mark Clattenburg.
Clattenburg. Oh. It's definitely going to be Clattenburg, isn't it?
It has to be Clattenburg. It's related to my first pick. My first pick was West Ham to beat Crystal Palace. And it was 2-1 to West Ham. Mm-hmm. Everything was going fairly well. Admittedly, West Ham weren't at their best. And then a terrible sending off for Cheick Kouyaté. And that's been rescinded today.
That's it, really?
It's been rescinded. It's been acknowledged that it wasn't a red card. And Clattenburg was at it. He was the one who gave the red card. And this is not the first time this season that that he's given poor decisions, but it did happen to coincide with obviously the wild card calling me out on my bets.
So he put some influence. He's either Mark Clattenburg himself or has the influence to put some kind of
He could be Clattenburg's
power
wife.
Over Clattenburg. Yeah,
Clattenburg's wife.
But he could be the man who shines Pierluigi Collina's head. But we don't know. He could be some sort of in some sort of referee type disguise somewhere. I think it could be.
Are you suggesting that Clattenburg shines Kalina's head?
No, I'm saying the wild card could be very close to a major referee in some way.
That's my theory. So yeah, that game was the first of my picks, which was West Ham to beat Crystal Palace. It was
very unlucky.
It was 2s when I picked it, we discussed it. I think Greg, you were very confident about it last week.
Yeah. I backed it myself in a personal backer as well.
Yeah, the red card completely changed the game.
It's quite interesting, actually, between the red button, which I think we mentioned pretty much every week, but also about the review of the game on Match of the Day. There was quite a bit of disparity between was it a red and was it not a red? Because some people said it was a red, some people said it wasn't.
I was amazed by that. Ian Wright was the one who thought it was a red card.
Yeah.
On the red button service, both Dion Dublin and Garth Crooks were up in arms about it. They thought it was a ridiculous decision.
It was ridiculous. It totally changed the game. And also, the thing in that game that cost us as well was Adrian's ridiculous goalkeeping at the start, where he just patted the ball to Delaney.
Yeah, that was awful.
West Ham should have been out of sight in that game. A man who presses my red button is Paye and his free kicks, which are absolutely outstanding. And West Ham were miles clear in that game, really, in terms of quality, but just couldn't seal the deal.
Yeah, so that was my first pick. And Clattenburg, another reason, by the way, is I believe Clattenburg supports Arsenal. I know that there's a lot of speculation online as to who he does support. It's thought to be one of the big teams because he tends to favour them. A lot of his decisions go for the Liverpools and the Arsenals and the Manchester Uniteds.
Yeah. Am I not right in thinking that if you are a Premiership or high level referee and you get paid to do so, that you have to disclose the team that you follow to ensure that you are not refereeing that team?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. And where you're from and background. I think so, yeah.
Absolutely. But I mean, as fans, we don't ever get to find out who that is. We can only speculate. There's been a lot of kind of speculation in the past about certain referees favouring certain clubs. I think there was a particular referee, I've forgotten who it was now, who was seen celebrating a Tottenham goal after they'd scored. I can't remember who it was.
Hopefully it's not whilst he was refereeing.
Was it Webb? I thought it was someone like Andre Mariner.
Yeah. I've seen the same clip.
They've done it twice. Yeah. They've like done a little fist bump or a little skip and a jump when Tottenham have scored. So I can't remember which referee that is, but Clattenburg could be an Arsenal fan. We think the wildcard could be an Arsenal fan. Clattenburg, Arsenal.
But it certainly cost you your first pick last week. Who was your second
pick? So my second pick was the one that caused a lot of consternance online between myself and the wild card, and that was Northampton to beat Notts County. Oh. Now, our followers told us Notts County lose all the time.
Yep.
On paper, they look like they should lose.
You weren't sure about it.
There was a little bit of an issue about a discrepancy, should we say, between the statistics that I was talking about, and then Nathan challenged me on the statistics, and the wildcard further challenged me on the statistics. Yes, they'd been unbeaten for a very long time, but yes, both Nathan and the wildcard were right that they had drawn three of their last five, I think it was, and four of their last seven. So they have been picking up more and more draws, and so it went. They went 1-0 up. Then they drew, then they got back to level, and then Notts County actually went 2-1 up. Northampton got a penalty and went 2-2. And I mean, I was sitting there on pins and needles hoping that Northampton would get the last goal, but it didn't happen. And it's, you know, Northampton, although they're not losing games, they are dropping points at the moment.
I think they're close to becoming this season's Derby County. We last season we kind of effectively banned Derby County from being picked because they were so inconsistent when they were favourites. And I think Northampton are becoming a bit like that. We've backed them a couple of times. They've let us down when it really matters. And I'm starting to be a bit scared of backing them myself. So So 0-2 from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did also talk about the Gillingham Coventry game last week.
To be honest, I said a lot last week, and the only thing I got right was the thing I didn't want to get right, and that was that Manchester United would beat Everton to nil, which I put out on the Twitter on the day of the game. I said that's guaranteed to come in, and that's exactly what came in. Other than that, I couldn't hit a barn door with my predictions. So
well, at least you know your own team, as you proved last week.
It's quite interesting because at the end of last week's podcast we kind of threw in, to extend the show kind of undeliberately, quite a few tips, and I did a bit of maths this week, gentlemen, because you said last week, Justin, that you thought Man United at 2.1 were going to beat Everton.
They were.
I said that Rotherham were going to beat Leeds at 2.4. I also said that at 2.3 Hartlepool were going to beat Mansfield, and Greg said that Stoke versus Swansea was BTTS, both teams to score, and that was at twos. Now that in a quick 45 second bit of the show was a 23-1 odd victory. So if you put a tenner on that, that's £230 in your back pocket.
So what you're saying is if they ignore our official bets and just listen for the ones that we deemed not good enough for our accumulator, then you could make money. Although I did also say that Gillingham would beat Coventry, and Coventry got a respectable
draw. Yeah, I did discount that because it didn't really work, make the accumulator work.
Yeah. Yeah, but what you're saying is we don't talk total rubbish. Occasionally we do throw out.
Yeah, there's some truth in that.
That's the Achilles heel for most gamblers, isn't it? Trying to find that selectivity and getting it right every time. But we were in the right areas. We just had a bit of an unlucky week. And I think following on from the unlucky, I thought the West Ham pick was very unlucky, by the way. I thought my pick, can we move on to, mine, which is also a bit of a failure. So I got one from two. The one I got wrong, which I thought I was super confident about, I thought I was going to nail it, was I picked out one of only five 0-0 draws in the whole of the Football League that weekend to be beat, and I chose it as BTTS, which was Colchester against Millwall. Thought it had goals written all over it, thought both teams were on fire, they've got a history of high scoring games, and it just didn't happen, and it was 0-0. Didn't look very good, so that ruined my one. And my second one was the El Clasico, which again looked like it was drifting towards 0-0 at half time, but ended up with a kind of flurry of three quick goals being 2-1, and we needed it to be both teams to score and over 2.5 goals, so that came in, which is alright. So again, another one from two, which if anyone was putting me under pressure to try and get to the top of the league, it would be terrible form, but I'm seemingly still there. So
I mean, just going back to that Colchester versus Millwall 0-0 draw, I mentioned it previously about the teams that we think are destined for relegation and have, have been have been featured quite regularly to lose, so to speak. And, you know, I've mentioned it before that the teams down there, they will get something at some point. And I think that was, kind of a bit of a nailing verdict to that.
Yeah.
Especially at this part of the season.
I think that's massively unlucky. I thought the Millwall would win the game, but there's there's no one in the right mind would have predicted that as a 0-0. Yeah. So I think that was really unlucky.
Yeah. One of actually my ones, as you're going on to my bets, I got 1 out of 2 last week.
Wait, before we go on to your bets, I thought it probably was only fair.
Oh, here we go.
If we test you on how well you know your team, we've been through the ringer ourselves. So I've just put together 3 little questions for you.
Oh, how well weird. You know your club?
How well do you know your team?
I'm really not confident about
so,
this.
So
this week it's Coventry City.
Yeah, I've gone for everyone.
I'm going to guess Keith Houchin.
Well, actually, funnily enough, he's part of my first question. Oh. So, obviously, Coventry's greatest ever moment was winning the FA Cup in 1987.
Yeah.
And everyone remembers the Keith Houchin goal.
Yeah.
Few people might remember the Gary Mabbott own goal.
Yeah, first diabetic in the Premier League as well, Gary Mabbott.
He was the first diabetic in the Premier League.
Correct, yeah. He was.
Who were the others?
That's a fact, mate. I got no idea. That's a fact.
So the other question was, who scored your other goal on that day?
Tick-tock. That's the clock there.
Stunned silence.
Wow.
Right. Okay. We'll probably get on with your picks. It's probably not the best time to ask you.
What was the score in that game?
It was 3-2.
3-2.
Yeah. Who scored the other goal in that game?
Yeah. The first Coventry goal.
I've got no idea. I couldn't even guess.
Can you not guess someone from that team?
Brian Kilcline.
Right, okay. Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
Dave Bennett.
Dave Bennett's such a...
Played on the wing,
name.
Didn't he? Yeah, Dave. I could have just guessed... Dave, oh, no, Dave shot. Bennett, yeah.
Bennett was quality.
Was he?
Great winger.
He was. He was a great winger, yeah. I think he actually crossed it in for Keith Houchin's winner as
he
well.
He did indeed, yeah, you're so right.
I should have got...
Game. He had a great game.
Yeah, great game. But going back to my bets, I got 1 out of 2. And the first one, again, which you could perceive to be unlucky, was Inter at home versus Torino, which is a 1.75.
Sorry,
and
I'm not sure how you could perceive that to be unlucky.
Well, the reason why is because Inter Milan got 2 red cards in that game.
Okay.
So Inter Milan went 1 up.
Was Clattenburg reffing?
Yeah. Or was the wild card there in spirit?
Well, I think so, yeah. I think he may have or may not have Italian connections, but obviously we don't know. That's unconfirmed reports. But obviously Inter Milan went 1-0 up, actually, and then Torino equalised. And then Inter got a man sent off. And then Nagatomo conceded a penalty. He got sent off for that. For his second yellow.
Who's
and
Nagatomo,
then,
the keeper?
No, he's
a defender, left back. Defender, yeah. He played left back.
Okay.
And he, obviously, he got sent to the stands and then they conceded the penalty and that was converted and that was a 2-1 win away from Torino. Honestly, if you were to look through the stats, that would never have been a Torino win, but the 2 red cards had a massive sway on the game. And then the other one was Liverpool versus Spurs. Both teams to score 1.8, and it was a 1-1 draw. And actually, both goals were absolutely beautiful in that game.
Yeah, fantastic goals in that game.
Absolutely beautiful. Coutinho's, it was a beautiful move, came from the left, side foot into the bottom right corner. And then Harry Kane's goal was an absolute worldie.
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
Klopp came over and had a little word with him, didn't he, after the game? And Klopp came over and hugged him and gave him a little word in the ear and said that was a great strike or something. He whispered to him, apparently.
And that is the difference. How many big teams in the past have we seen that they have that one player who can just do something out of nothing? And I mean, Eriksen ran after the ball, kind of. He did actually skillfully tap it into Kane, which was good. But just a little dummy. Yep. And it looks so easy, but actually to do was so difficult.
He's a born finisher, that kid.
He is. Yeah.
He's an absolute predator in the box.
He just always believes he's going to score as well.
Yeah.
He scores kind of FIFA goals in the sense that he just knows that he's going to score if he gets
target.
It. Yeah, he's just trying to hit the target all the time.
I think that's the difference with backing BTTS in the Premier League as well. In the Colchester-Millwall game, you're never going to get moments like that that are just going to somehow break the deadlock. Whereas if you've got Harry Kane or some predator on the pitch like that, world-class level.
You're probably more relying, rather than... On goal scoring talent, you're probably relying on defensive inability, really, aren't you, at that level?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was my 1 out of 2. We're going to go over to the wild card, who also got 1 out of 2. His first one was Atletico Madrid, who got a win 5-1 at home versus Real Betis, which was 1.4.
This is the home win that they should have done when I backed them 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I have to say this actually dropped well below 1.4 by the time we got to kickoff time. But obviously at the time of recording, it was 1.4, so it was permissible in the bet.
His second one that didn't come off was Rochdale at home to beat Doncaster 1.85. And we spoke about this last week, how we thought that he'd bet on Doncaster to lose.
I think that's dangerous at this time of the season as well. I think you've got to also have, I think it shows you've also got to have a team who's capable of getting over the line and winning games. And Rochdale were obviously weren't capable of doing that. Well, they were struggling.
He claims that that wasn't the case. He, as I said, there was a quite public kind of display of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Kind of
discontent, if you will.
Yeah, animosity, maybe.
There was certainly some animosity there and some antagonism. And, but mainly he was he took umbrage at that because, and he's got a fair point with this. Prior to Rochdale losing to Wigan, they had won their last five games on the bounce. So he claimed that it was more a bet on Rochdale's form combined with Doncaster's poor form. But actually, I was reading or listening to the results coming in, and they were talking about Doncaster and the manager, Darren Ferguson, son of Alex. Sure. He'd actually publicly slated his own players in the week, Doncaster players. Really? He'd come out and he challenged them publicly in the press.
Phil Brown style.
Yeah, to put a performance in on Rochdale. And it seems like it might have actually done the trick because Doncaster really unlucky not to win that in the end.
It's so rare for that to happen. Yeah. A team manager to come out and say that these guys are not performing, they're not at the level that they should be, they need to sort it out. It's so rare that.
Fair enough.
And it's either going to go one way or the other.
It's certainly happening at Nottingham Forest as well, my team at the moment. That needs to happen. Someone needs to come out and say that to them because they're not playing anywhere near the level.
But yeah, they're very rare. Absolutely. I mean, I was considering Nottingham Forest last week. They got absolutely splattered by Brentford, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, sorry to divert the topic from that, but to Forest. But for just a quick minute, I'd like to just say how bad we are. We've got a real relegation fight on our hands there. But I've got a friend of mine dad's actually always tells me about how Forest are getting on. He goes there. He's a very calm, kind of mild mannered guy. Andy's name is. He knows his stats. You could ask him any fact, but obviously know it. And he said to myself and my dad that
would he have known about Leon Best's sister?
He would definitely have known Leon Best's sister. Yeah. he probably got them on sort of speed dial. But yeah, he said that Forest will not get another point all season. He said it was that bad.
Wow.
He's absolutely. And you've got really.
You've got Brighton, haven't you, on the Monday night?
Yeah, Monday night special. Sky. Yeah, it's on Sky, so you can watch us all get taken.
You know,
apart.
I was a little bit tempted by that. 2.25 for Brighton. Yeah.
That is especially on a double chance. That's a no-brainer. I mean, we're not going to win that game.
Fair enough.
But the wild cards one, I mean, Doncaster, Rochdale, yeah, a bit of a shocker, really.
Yeah, Doncaster were leading 2-1. I think Rochdale equalised in the 93rd minute, I think it was. So very lucky to even get a draw out of that.
Yeah.
So be careful when you're betting down the lower leagues at this stage of the season. Yeah. We will go on to this week's bets, where hopefully we'll get much better than the 3 out of 8. And hopefully some of the wondrous tips that we alluded to last week that actually did come off will come off in our actual 8-gamer.
I've got a little question for you guys first. It's not a quiz question, don't worry.
Oh, right, I was sweating then.
Because we were talking about the world's best players last week, and I was in a conversation recently where I was asked to name my World 11. I actually had no problem most of it, but I had real difficulty choosing a right back. Who would you have in your World 11 right back? Don't say Mikel Antonio.
You do know a couple of weeks ago gave away a penalty, you know, Greg.
Doesn't matter, he scores.
Mine would probably be Cafu.
So Cafu was...
Oh, ever?
Yeah.
Oh,
World 11 right back. Don't say sorry. Mikel Antonio still isn't the best right back currently in the world either.
Gnev?
or Javier Zanetti.
Oh, Zanetti's a good chat.
Javier Zanetti.
I actually went with... when I was asked this, I went with Turam.
Great shout!
It was I was tossing it up between Turam and Cafu. I just couldn't think of that many great right backs.
Struggling there. I think even people like Philipp Lahm, even though he kind of plays kind of all over the shop now, I think at one point when he was playing at right back for Bayern Munich, he was pretty solid.
Was he not a left back?
He was more of a left. But I think he played either. Ambidextrous.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. You're right. There isn't anyone who kind of nailed that position in history.
The thing with a position like right back is that if you do it well, you probably don't get that many plaudits. But if you do it really poorly, everybody's going to
hold on. If you ask anyone who like the best left backs in the world are, almost everyone just says Maldini because he was so good at it.
Stuart Pearce,
you know, as ridiculous as it might sound, Stuart Pearce is definitely one of the better.
Philipp Lahm would be in there.
Philipp Lahm would definitely be in there.
I mean, I'm trying to think, the kind of fullbacks do change quite a bit, so you probably get someone.
Surely you've got to go Italian if you're talking about defenders.
Panucci, or Christian Panucci.
Well, you went Cafu and I went Turam. Neither of us has got Italian.
True. So Walter Zenger's not made an appearance.
Mate, stick him up front, 30 goals a season, mate. He can do everything.
Yeah, I don't know, the best right backs ever. Has Holland ever had anything?
Well, I tell you what, if you want to get onto that kind of discussion, maybe leave a comment on www.thefootballbetclub.com or on our Facebook page, The Football Bet Club, or also go onto Twitter and maybe get back to us that way. But what we'll do this week, what we'll do now is go on to this week's bets. We're going to get Justin, who is reared up to try and get a much improved performance from his zero from two.
Yeah.
What have you got for us this week?
Well, this week I'm going back to my safe haven. Anyone who follows the FPC and the statistics will know that I have a very good record in the Championship and in League One, and I'm useless everywhere else. And funnily enough, the last one I won was a League One fixture. So I'm going to League One with both my picks this week.
Wow, okay.
They're both exactly the same odds. They're both 1.66. And Nathan, I'm addressing this to you because I'm betting against your team. I'm going Wigan to beat Coventry at 1.66. Now, Coventry got a respectable draw against Gillingham.
Yeah.
But it was actually the first point they picked up in five games.
Yeah.
Wigan are not dissimilarly to Northampton, have not lost for a very long time, but they have picked up a few draws, but they seem to be taking charge. Burton seem to be stumbling in League One. Yeah. Wigan seem to be taking charge of the title race. So I think that it's a bad time for Coventry to be playing the league leaders, and I'm going with the league leaders at 1.66. Now, I wouldn't have backed it had you not told me that you agree with me.
I don't think we will win that game. However, for me, both teams, from gambling on one recently, Wigan, and we've had that recently in the FBC in the past few months, and also supporting the other team, both teams are so unpredictable. Coventry, you mentioned last week about how poorly they were defending, but also we're not scoring enough goals, so we're in a really, really poor run of form. But then Wigan don't seem to be that commanding kind of authority in that league, which you think of. They have picked up wins, they haven't dropped points because of losses. However, there have been a number of games where they have drawn, and I'm not too sure about them. So I could see that being easily a 0-0. But at the same time, I could see it being a 4-0 to Wigan at the same... Do you know what I mean?
Wigan do need the win more than Coventry, I think.
Yeah.
They're going to see this as one of those
fixtures. Coventry need a win. If they don't win now, then they're not getting the playoffs. They've fallen out of the playoff spaces. Right.
I think
we've given up on the playoffs because our form has been so poor and we started so well. It's one of those... We kind of similarly copied Crystal Palace in the fact that we've done so well in the early start of the season. And then afterwards, we've kind of just lived off the back of that and we've just slid ever since.
I'd say that Wigan's... I mean, you said Wigan's form has been kind of a bit unpredictable, but actually they are top of the league, so they're pretty predictable in that they're not going to lose.
They're not going to lose, but you're not backing on them not to lose. You're backing them to win. You know?
Yeah, but they win more games than they draw or lose.
Yeah, I just hark back to I backed them versus Oldham. I think somebody else backed them to win somewhere else.
The wild card backed them against Peterborough, but we said they wouldn't beat Peterborough, and that happened. When they played Oldham, I think we were all quite convinced they would win.
Yeah,
I think it'll be close. I think it'll be a 1-0. Maybe 2-0 win to Wigan.
I
think Coventry are going to score.
Yeah, but this kind of goes back to what I said last week when I said, you know, please bet on Man United to beat Everton.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone knows a team like their fans. I've said it before. For me, we've talked about Nathan rules. If there's one Harvey rule, it's listen to the fan who's telling you what they think the score is going to be.
Last week, Greg
told me not to bet on Nottingham Forest, and they got hammered. Yeah. And he's never really steered me wrong. You're the only one who's ever steered me wrong when he told me not to bet on Coventry and they beat Bury 6-0.
True.
But
I have no response to that.
But that, funnily enough, that's the last game I think Coventry have won.
Yeah, and that was the first game that we'd won in a while. It was ridiculous. It was like what you alluded to last week of betting in Scotland.
Okay. That would have been the week before.
So that was your first one?
So that was my first one. My second one is also 1.66, and it is...
Bradford,
yeah, absolutely. To beat Oldham. Now,
Swindon.
I think this will also be... Bradford to beat Swindon will be a close one. I think, and also, if I'm going to go for a correct score, I think this will be 1-0 Bradford.
Right.
Wow. Bradford have won something like 2 games 1-0 recently
the,
at home.
The reason I've gone for this, normally like Bradford don't look like much. They're fifth in the table, I think. I think there's a few games in that league tonight, so that could... But they're around, they're in the playoffs. What attracted me to them, and it's probably not dissimilar to what the wildcard thought with Rochdale last week, is their recent form. They've lost one game out of the last seven. The other six have all been wins. So they are, and they've won the last four on the trot. So they're in really good form. They're up, they're probably the most in form in terms of wins in League One at the moment.
Yeah.
Swindon, not great. Yeah, lose a lot of games,
especially away. They've got poor form.
The only thing I'd say about Swindon is they also draw a lot of games. So that's one slight worry is the draw, but that's always going to be the case.
I think Swindon get the odd goal as well, though. They're good for goals.
Not away from home. They have big win. They have big games at home. Yeah. They'll lose like 4-3.
I looked at that game
4-2.
Actually. I did look at it, Bradford Swindon. I quite liked it when you put it down as yours. I thought I was. Yeah, I think that's
okay. To be honest, after last week when you told me I was going to get 2-2,
I'm not terrible.
I'm not sure that Greg's seal of approval means all that much.
Yeah, last week I was full of confidence and said Justin would definitely get 2-2 and you got 0-2. But
But Justin did make a good point there. As we are recording this podcast, there are some games tonight in League One, League Two, and the Conference, the lower leagues. So that may impact on some of our bets. You know, had we had that information, however,
I think there's a swerve clear of those games that were affected. Like, I haven't picked teams that are playing.
Well, I think it's mainly the Championship. The Championship has got a full fixture list, whereas the others have only got the odd team playing. So when none of us have bet on the Championship as far as I know, so we should be fine in that sense.
So I'll go on to my ones for this week, and the first one, I don't know if you guys maybe think this is controversial, but it's York at home versus Wickham, both teams to score 1.9. Both teams, I feel, have something to play for. Wickham are kind of pushing for the playoffs. And to be fair, York are second from bottom, and we speak about York quite often. But they have scored at home 12 in their last seven. So it means that they do have goals at home. And I don't think that Wickham are the biggest scorers, but they are someone who are playing for something. So rather than backing form here, although, you know, that York kind of statistic does hark back to what I'm talking about, I do think that there is goals in this game. I think it's probably going to be a 1-1 maybe.
I like to think about when your picks come in on the WhatsApp. I like to think about how have they picked that? What state of mind were they in when they were doing this? Where were they? Were they sitting at home on the desk? Were they sitting on the toilet? What were they doing? I just think you've looked down this and you've gone, oh, York, they're rubbish. Anyone can score against York. And you've just picked it out.
York's defensive record is not good. But York generally get a good return of goals at home. So I'm just thinking that actually backed this. I'm quite surprised that you're giving me a bit of beef, Greg, because you backed York both to score. Was it last week?
I've backed York both to score. I think against Barnet, I think it was.
It was a couple of weeks ago.
I'm worried about Wickham. York, I guess, always concede, don't they? I mean, they kind of do. They're a bit flaky at home.
I mean, dream scenario for me is Wickham go 1-0 up and York push on and get another goal. That's what I'm hoping. But it's a 1.9, so the bookies, you know, they're a bit nervous.
Last week, I was put off by the fact that Stoke Swansea was 2, and I went for the Colchester Mill one at 1.6 or something.
Yeah.
And I got stung when I should have. I actually fancied the other one a bit more, but I kept quiet because I was a bit worried about the price. And then, sometimes I hate that when the price puts you off a good bet. It's just so frustrating because it's even, you know, you've lost out on more, really, haven't you?
My second one actually is Gangon, as I'm reliably informed by our native French speaker, Justin.
Hey.
Versus PSG. A PSG win, a 1.9.
Are PSG at home or away?
They're away.
Right, price.
And I believe, we picked up on this, or Greg, sorry, you picked up on this a couple of weeks ago, how the European action for a team can impact on the betting odds. Even away from home, PSG would never be a 1.9. However, what they are doing, they're playing 3 games in 6 days. So they're playing Wednesday, they're playing Saturday, and then they are playing next Tuesday. And that's probably had a big impact on the results. However, I thought about this last week when we discussed it, that the wild card maybe would have thought about backing PSG. And they ended up winning 5-1 away from home. So it was just such an easy one. And despite the fact that it probably might be a bit of a squad rotation policy in this weekend's game away from home, I still think they're going to have enough.
There will be a squad rotation. I mean, they're going to play quite a high impact game against Man City this week, so that's going to affect. I mean, probably come up.
But even if they rotate their squad, it's their second string is probably still much better than everyone else in the league anyway.
Yeah,
it was also impacted on the fact that I think they'll still win this because they're on 80 points at the moment. I'm not too sure how many games are left in the French league, but I think they might want to try and get a century of points.
Yeah, I mean, they're running away with it.
They've won the league.
It's gone, but I mean, yeah. So who knows? But I think that's a good prize. I think that should win. I mean, they're certainly miles better.
You're not worried they're just going to get all the kids out, play their under 21s.
No, I hope it's not going to be a League Cup affair, Blumenek. But if harping back to, you know, when United were the almighty and they were dominant in even when they won the league by 15, 20 points, whatever, back in the days in Ferguson, they would still put out, you know, a reputable team. And even though maybe it wasn't their strongest 11, they would still do the business.
That year they won the treble and they won the Champions League. They had two teams, didn't they? They would play Sheringham and Solskjaer in midweek, and York and Cole on the main games.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, maybe they've got a similar system in PSG.
I would feel far more comfortably if Zlatan plays on Saturday. Because he scored two, he scored a brace last week. Obviously, he's going to start in both Champions League games. He's getting on a bit. Maybe they might rest him for the weekend. I hope not.
Still, they've got Cavani to come on. And
yeah, true. So
is Lebetsi still there, or has he gone to China?
I think you said he's gone to China.
Yeah,
gone
to China.
I watched some of the Chinese league today, actually, by the way. I watched a bit of the Guangzhou Evergreen. The stadiums are packed. I was expecting some sort of rural... I was doing my global bet research.
Good work.
I was watching the Guangzhou Evergreen versus someone, I can't remember who they were, some Thunderbolts or something. So, seeing as you mentioned Bournemouth there, weirdly, I was very close to picking Bournemouth. Away from home to beat Villa.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to back that anyway at 2.5 to beat Villa. Villa are the worst team the Premier League's ever seen.
Yeah.
And
Apart from Derby
and that Billy Davis year. Yeah. Fantastic. sorry, Derby fans. But Bournemouth are going to win beat Villa, aren't they? Let's be honest. I was just a bit nervous for some reason.
I don't know.
But Bournemouth are looking at this and saying, this is the one game we need to get 40 points. And if they're going to get it, they're going to do it.
That's a good point.
They're already safe, though.
Well, they are. They need 40 points. You need 40 points, don't you?
Everton don't even have 40 points.
I didn't want to mention that, but
I saw that as well. I actually thought maybe there's goals in that. I think Villa could score. I think Bournemouth could score as well. I think it could be a Bournemouth win, but not to nil. I could be like a 3-1 or a 2-1 Bournemouth.
I noticed on Match of the Day as well that our most hated player, Charlie Daniels, who cost us in episode 2 of the FBC.
I don't hate Charlie Daniels.
We all hate Charlie Daniels. And if you're a true FBC follower, you hate Charlie Daniels. A little bit of you hate him. And he had a shocker again for Bournemouth last week.
I heard about that.
And it was just diabolical. I hate the guy. I also looked at Chelsea. I thought Chelsea might win at twos. I think they're going to.
Oh, I think Swansea on. It's Swansea.
Swansea, yeah.
I think Swansea on the up.
And I can't believe we've all avoided Leicester. Leicester have got to be for a team that are running away with the league. They're going to smash this Premier League. They're not even going to win it like closely. They're going to just destroy it. And they are 2.1 like to win games at the moment. I don't know. I've completely forgotten. But I don't know who it is. I can't remember now. I can't remember. But they should win.
I looked at Chelsea, Swansea as well, but I think Swansea have been invigorated by the new manager. I think they're playing better than they were. I think Chelsea
might still beat them, but I think that they'll. I think it can be a tight game, that one.
Yeah. Leicester away at Sunderland, by the way, which I would not want
to back.
They'll beat Sunderland easily.
I think there's goals in it as well, though. Sunderland was so unlucky not to beat West Brom. I think Sunderland.
But they missed a lot of chances. Yeah. If you're backing them to get goals, Sunderland, you know, they missed a hatful.
But on another day, they could have got five.
Can you imagine if Man United from those Ferguson era had gone away to a team in the relegation zones and there was no chance the bookies would be offering 2.1?
But Leicester are not that team.
They are. They've got the second best defence in the league, probably, haven't they? You got Wes Morgan. What more do you need?
Captain Courageous.
I was.
Harry Redknapp thinks he should play for England.
You were very. you felt very good seeing that Harry Redknapp made exactly the same mistake as you. Wes Morgan being Jamaican,
I mean, it's unbelievable that Harry Redknapp is an international manager.
Yeah,
and he still thinks that Wes Morgan play for England. I mean, I'm not at that level.
He was probably
he
was probably thinking about how he could naturalise a Jordanian.
Yeah,
get him over to Jordan.
Yeah, he won his first game, but they got absolutely pumped in his second game, didn't he? It was like 8-0.
The big game that mattered against Australia.
The second game was against Australia. Jordan were never going to win that.
Yeah.
Do you know who Tim Cahill's brother, talking of Australia, do you know who Tim Cahill's brother played international football for?
I do.
Is it going to? I'm going to say someone like Greece or someone.
It's Samoa.
Samoa, yeah,
it's very Samoa. Good. He's in prison these days.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, armed robbery, I think.
Oh. How on earth do you know that?
Because it was a very it was really controversial. Tim Cahill did a kind of handcuff celebration.
Oh, really?
When his brother got sent down as a kind of like respect for his brother, and loads of people like condemned him for it, said that, you know, he shouldn't have done that.
Because Prisoners 11, then, wouldn't he?
I'm glorified. Sure,
we've talked about this before with
the Prisoners 11. Tim Cahill's brother.
Tim Cahill's brother could probably get in that with Joey Barton. Has he been to jail? No.
No.
What's his face?
Lee Hughes has been to jail.
Lee Hughes is in there, the Middlesbrough guy.
I reckon there's better players have been to jail than Tim Cahill's brother and Lee Hughes.
Well, Pelé. What's that film back in the day? He skates to victory. Pelé was in there, wasn't he? Bobby Moore.
That was a real jail.
It was a nasty prisoner of war camp as well.
Same difference, mate.
Pelé in the Prisoners 11. That's a bit hard.
Greg, anyway, what's your bet?
Sorry, I haven't even told you my bet. So, I've decided to go back to my roots, which are the dodgy BTTS bets. And this week, I'm also trying to reclaim the continental jersey. The continental champion. Nathan is officially now not the most informed bettor or the continental champion. I'm going to reclaim both this week. And I'm gone for on. They're both on Sunday because I don't want to let the team down on Saturday. So I've gone for two Sunday picks. And the first one is FC 20. I don't know how you say that in Dutch. Versus Feyenoord, and that's both teams to score 1.57.
I've got to say, if I was Nathan, I would be going mad at this.
Why?
Because those are
Belenenses.
Because of the Belenenses bet. Just to give you a bit of context, last year. We were doing the FBC last year as well. And last year, Nathan struggled to find anything in the UK or even in the major leagues. And he went to the Portuguese league and bet on Belenenses to win. Belenenses were fourth in the league at the time. And they lost. And afterwards, Nathan took a barrage of abuse for picking a more minor league. The Portuguese league and the Eredivisie are on a par, in my opinion.
I would disagree with that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
How? You think about the players, the crop of players that come out of the Dutch division compared to the crop of players that come out of the Portuguese.
Right, you're talking about the crop of players that come out of three Dutch teams, the same way.
There's a lot of similarities.
The same way the Portuguese league is dominated.
Yeah.
The Portuguese teams do much better in Europe, or have done in recent times. Obviously, PSV got quite far in the Champions League this time, but more recently have had Champions League winners.
It's a fair point.
You know, big players. You know, Jackson Martinez. They've got a lot of big players playing in Portugal. I'm just saying that I think the Eredivisie and the Portuguese Premier League are on a par, and I think if you're going to not let him bet in Portugal, I think to bet in Holland is a little bit rich in my opinion.
Okay. That's a fair point. They've got similarities. The Dutch league is in the rules, though. We can bet in the Dutch league, and I have bet in the Dutch league successfully before.
I feel these rules will change quite soon.
I follow the Dutch league personally, privately, and he said that, but I haven't been watching it on my own in the room, but you know, I've been watching the Dutch league for a while, and it's just goal central every single week. And I've done my research, I've looked at the stats. FC 20 have never failed to score at home this season. They've scored a couple against Ajax, they've scored against the big team, scored against PSV. They're going to score against Feyenoord this week, hopefully. So, and Feyenoord always score away. They've got one of the highest goals. 75% of their games, both teams to score. I mean, come on, that is a fantastic stat. Mm. So, I can't see anything else being a goal fest.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. Your stats kind of make sense, but you can also just look at the league table and see that actually there are other stats that point to this maybe not being the goal fest that you say. 20 have scored, I think, 44 league goals this season, which is not very high. They're 10th in the league.
Yeah. That's out of 29 games.
Feyenoord have, I think, conceded 30-something goals. They've got the third or fourth meanest defence in the league. So if you look at it a different way, you could also say the statistics of that game producing a lot of goals is maybe not... Well,
fair enough.
I hear what you're saying. As the go-between, I'm going to say that it's a banker. Because if Dirk Hout can score 25 goals in a season in a Dutch team, it's got to be goal central.
This further proves my point that it is on a par with the Portuguese league.
I will salute you on.
I think Dirk Kuyt's record was something like 66 goals in 100 games when he was playing in Holland.
I don't think the quality of the Dutch league is as good as we maybe just said it was. There's a guy who's on loan from Forest called Lars Veldwijk who is absolutely terrible. He's got the touch of Ibrahim Bakayoko. and he scored loads at the moment for PSC Zwolle or whatever they're called.
Peck Zwolle. Just actually,
he's got the touch of Ibrahim Bakayoko.
Great
link to last week's show.
Because I completely forgot that we were asking Nathan questions, I don't want to do them both at the end. I'll just give you one to think about while he does his next pick.
Mm-hmm.
In your lifetime, two Coventry players have played and been capped by England. Who are those two players in your lifetime? Ooh.
Okay, I was trying to participate then. I think I've got one. So my second pick then is another BTTS. I'm going for goals this week. I'm tired of trying to find winners because I'm struggling with that. So I'm going to La Liga, and it's Sunday night. This is, I think, probably the last, in terms of time, this will be the last one of our picks. This will bring it home, hopefully. And this is Athletic Bilbao, or Club Athletic, or whatever they're called, versus Rayo Vallecano. BTTS, and they're a Madrid team, I think, aren't they? So they're like a local team. They're quite a socialist left wing fan base, as I remember. But anyway, they score lots of goals, and this is 1.75. Again, I've got lots of stats to prove this will be a goal fest. But
Bilbao, though, they lost 1-0 to Granada on the weekend.
Yeah,
so that didn't finish both teams to score.
That didn't,
and they were at home in that game.
They've saved the goals.
No, you're probably right, and you know the chances are they won't, you know, draw a blank two games in a row.
Yeah.
So just that last result would be a little bit concerning.
That did concern me a little bit. I think I've looked at Rayo Vallecano's defence away from home, and it's very open, and they do concede a lot. So I'm hoping that Bilbao will just find the net. It looked a good price. I thought 1.75
Do you think Vallecano will score?
Yeah. I think they've scored in nearly all of their away games, weirdly. They've scored, I think there's only like a couple of games they haven't scored. I think that was against like Barcelona or someone, or maybe the big team, I can't remember now. But it was quite a big price for a game that seemed to have goals statistically, and I put it through my statistical filter that I have on, that I've built,
your mathematical algorithm
formula that finds such beauties as Colchester versus Millwall 0-0. I've done a bit of statistical research, looked at it, and I fancy it. So that's Atletico Bilbao to get both teams to score with Rayo Vallecano.
Right, I've had a little think, gents.
Go on.
I've got four out who it could be.
How many do you need?
Two
Coventry players who played for England.
In his lifetime, only two Coventry players have played for England.
I think one could be Thompson, who we got from playing on the right wing. We played from Liverpool, which I don't
David
think
Thompson.
Yeah, David. No, Chris, I think this might be a bit of a trick question, because I don't think Chris Kirkland actually made a appearance for England. So I'm not going to go with him. I'm going to go with Dion Dublin and Steve Froggatt.
Oh, I don't think. I think
you got one right, and you're really lucky with that one. Steve Froggatt actually was in the squad and was an unused substitute in a couple of games and never got a cap. And then his career was cruelly ended by a bad Nicky Summerby challenge.
Yeah.
Dion Dublin is correct.
Yeah.
The other one, you got to go earlier. You've got to go back to the 80s and even the 70s, but he was still at you at the 80s and scoring and playing for England. Yeah.
Steve Ball.
No.
Anyway, Steve Ball, he played for Coventry, but then he went to Wolves and then played for England.
Yeah,
so that's where I'm getting mixed up.
No.
So the other one, I'm not too sure who that could be.
You got a shout?
No, I was actually thinking someone like Darren Huckabee. Like, did he get a random caps? Did he get
England B caps?
England B.
Yeah.
Why don't we have any B games anymore?
Yeah.
Actually, imagine the standard we're talking about.
It actually would be pretty good, I think.
Kevin Campbell was a star for England B.
Yeah.
Scored loads of goals for England.
He wasn't just for Kelly, yeah?
What about Noel Whelan? Then here we go.
It's a really, you're going to kick yourself.
It's not Oggy or something.
It's Cyril Regis.
It's a bit before my time, to be fair. But
I said it's in your lifetime. I could have gone with Danny Thomas, actually.
Oh,
do you know Danny Thomas?
No.
But wow. The year you were born, he was still playing for Coventry and getting England caps, but I thought that would be a bit harsh.
Yeah, so, right, I went with
Cyril Regis and Dion Dublin. Okay. All right.
Let's go to the wildcards bets this week. We've got, he's back to Palace. Both teams to score versus Norwich. Palace at home is a 1.95.
Now, I think that's not too bad a bet. I think there'll be goals there. But
I like it.
But I think I'll probably come in. But I did a bit of research this week, and I was thinking about how last week we kept bemoaning how unlucky we were with referees' decisions. And I looked into who are statistically the refs that give out the most cards and give out the most reds to see if we could avoid backing teams that, games that will have lots of red cards. And
that's a valid piece of research.
Yeah. Looked into it, and Michael Oliver's going to referee that game, Palace versus Norwich, and he gives out the third most cards in the league, including four straight reds quite recently. And Norwich have got one of the worst disciplinary records in the league. So I think if as a side bet, you should put on a bet that Norwich will get either a man sent off or there'll be a high number of cards in that game.
That is a great piece of knowledge, Greg.
And I think that also, sometimes if there's an early red card, it can affect both teams to score.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I had that the other day, didn't I, with Oxford and Cambridge.
The only thing I'd say is I think that it looks on paper that there could be quite a goal fest there, or these both teams need to get a goal, don't they? Need to win that game, both of them. I'd be surprised if there wasn't a sending off in that game.
I was very close to backing, breathe in and breathe out, a Norwich double chance.
Yeah.
Because Norwich have been in great form. They seem to be pulling themselves out of that kind of relegation zone. Sunderland are playing at home against Leicester, so they're going to see that's a bit of an opportunity. Palace, my concern about this bet specifically is that if Palace can get a goal.
Well, yeah, and also Palace, but Palace, you know, they'll be buoyed by that result at West Ham, rightly or wrongly.
They were lucky, you know, against West Ham.
Yeah, they were massively lucky. They played well. They played well, though. That was the thing. They can take a lot of heart from the performance. And I think they might go into this game with their tails up a little bit. I like that bet, actually. I looked at it and thought about both teams to score, but then thought about how bad I am at picking both teams to score. And for that reason, it's probably a terrible bet.
I think, is there a chance that it could be quite an edgy game, though?
Yeah,
Norwich, I think so. Norwich don't score hatfuls of goals, and Palace wouldn't have scored last week had it not been for a crazy moment for the goalkeeper and a real penalty decision. So
you know what?
Could it be 0-0 at half time and then it just peters out?
Norwich are a very difficult team to work out, because a month ago I would say that Norwich score goals. They were losing, you know, like 3-2 or 3-1 or whatever, and then in the past month they've just shored it up. They've just done a bit of a Benitez.
Newcastle 3-2 though on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, apart from that game, and that was the old Norwich who was sort of like, let's just go gung ho.
The previous fixture to that was Norwich West Brom, wasn't it? Where it was 1-0.
Yeah.
But that's because you're playing West Brom, Tony Pulis' side. Yeah. They don't give much away, but they also don't create very much, and that's more to do with the teams they were playing against, I think.
Maybe.
I think Palace Norwich will probably be both teams to score. I agree with that one. I almost picked it myself.
Okay.
So not bad. Fair enough. Not bad.
Second one.
Let's move on to his second one, which is Sociedad versus Barcelona, and Barcelona away from home, 1.57, which is the Barcelona win.
Again, it's another team that's involved in the Champions League, isn't it?
Yeah, so, and big result for Sociedad at the weekend.
Yeah.
Beating Sevilla.
Yeah. Away at Sevilla, wasn't it?
Away at Sevilla. Barcelona picking up their first league defeat in, what was it, 37 games?
37 games,
like that. Let's be fair, it's Barcelona. They're probably going to win.
They probably are.
Yeah,
is there a chance of a draw, though? I mean, they're going to be a bit tired. I mean, I'm not sure that the squad's as deep as they think it is once you take out the big three up top, if they're a bit tired.
Well, they never do. I don't know in league games whether they do, but they seem to just try and play those three in every single game I see.
I mean, it should come in, shouldn't it? I mean, like you said, it's Barcelona, so they should win everything. No, but
the thought of Barcelona losing two games on the trot seems ridiculous.
It does, especially after being unbeaten in 37. Yeah.
So I'd expect them to get back to winning.
Do you think
ways.
They'll actually do well to win tonight against Atleti? I think they'll do well to beat Atletico Madrid. I think it'll be a very tight game.
I think it's going to be massively tight. I think that neither team's going to give much away. I wouldn't be surprised if the whole tie goes to penalties.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's a good shout. So that's
an interesting debate there, which I won't go into. Maybe I'll say that afterwards for personal
tonight
conversations.
I'd back the under 2.5 goals, under 1.5 goals tonight. I don't think there'll be many goals in the first leg against Atletico Madrid. But anyway, that's a separate issue. So
that's all of our bets in. If you would like to get a full roundup of this week's ACCA, please do go to www.thefootballbetclub.com. Remember, pick and choose, listen to the discussion, pick what you fancy, leave what you don't, and we'll see how we get on for next week. What we'll do now is hand over to Greg for our weekly Global Bet of the Week.
Weekly Global Bet of the Week.
Yeah, that's because it's weekly, Justin.
It's a weekly thing. And It's a sad global bet, really, this week, because I've been told that I've got to sort of hand this over now.
We shall discuss that shortly.
Now, I think people are starting to think, what's the point in the global bet? And I've found two absolute beauties this week to bring myself back to some sort of salvation. Global bet salvation is what I need. And I'm going... Oh, it's difficult. I'm going to go with the Moldovan Women's Cup.
Ooh.
Wow.
Going to women's football for some sort of salvation of the female kind in Moldova. I was going to go with El Salvador Clausura. Oh, never mind. They've got a team there called CD Dragon, which I just thought was quite nice. But anyway, we'll go to the Moldovan Women's Cup. And this is Wednesday afternoon. So you have to get the podcast pretty quick to take advantage of this. Mm. I'm going to be backing the Criolini women.
Mm-hmm.
At 1.9.
Against who?
The Norwich women.
So we're backing the Italian referee.
It sounds like there's a tribe, doesn't it, of women in Moldova. The Norwich women versus the Criolini women.
Yeah, it sounds like they're kind of like sectioned off into their own little
tribal war. But yeah.
And what are the odds, mate? Who are you backing?
The Criolini women are 1.9 and they've been in great form.
Okay.
Okay. Apparently, that's the global,
might not be true.
That's the global bet.
This is basically your farewell. Global
farewell
bet.
Global bet.
Because it just remind me again, Greg, of your ratio so far.
I'm 2 from 8.
2 from 8. Now, because Greg's ratio is so poor, what we're going to do?
25%. That's not bad.
What we're going to do is try and hand this over to our listeners. So, if you would like to choose the global bet of the week. All you have to do is leave us a review on iTunes. Leave us a nice review, obviously 5 stars, but then put your Twitter handle in there and we'll choose one at random every week and we'll get in contact with you, maybe for a direct message, to choose a global bet of the week. And hopefully the public's listening public will have a greater ratio than that of Greg, because 25% just ain't cutting it, mate.
It's hard. People don't understand how hard it is to be a global expert. People don't understand. 2 from 8 is a very good ratio when you're talking about global.
What about
everyone knows the Moldovan Women's League like me.
What about the statistical algorithm?
It's fine. I'll hand it over to the audience. We'll see what they can do.
Reluctantly, we are prizing it away from his... Or maybe I'm prizing it away from his hands.
I think we've missed a trick here. I think what would have been interesting is if we'd managed to get a dog to like cover
like the octopus, like the octopus.
Yeah, like the octopus. Get a dog, just covered all the different fixtures in that pedigree chum, seeing which one it picked first, and just pitted the global bet of the week versus the dog bet of the week.
Dog bet is a great section.
If our public fail, then I think that is the next best choice. So, like I said, if you would like to have the opportunity to choose our global bet of the week every week on the show, please do go onto iTunes, leave us a review, and put your Twitter handle in there, and then we will contact you. We'll pick one at random and see what your bets are and if they are better than the 25% currently that Greg has got.
If you'd like to see how this week's global bet gets on, then please follow me on Twitter at Greg_FBC. Or is it FBC_Greg?
Great work, Greg. Greg_FBC. The wildcard is at wildcard_FBC. Justin is at FBC_Justin. And I'm at FBC_Nathan.
Okay. Right.
Well, that's there it we go, this then. Week. So... Hopefully, we will be speaking to you next week a little bit richer for our travails. And we'll have a global bet of the week from one of our listeners. Please remember to check out the iTunes. Check out, leave us a review. Also, check out our Facebook page, which has got growing numbers at the moment.
Yeah, get involved. Leave your feedback.
Yeah, leave your feedback on there. Leave comments on our own website as well. And please also remember to gamble responsibly, because this is just a bit of fun at the end of the day. It is nothing that we wager our life worth on or anything like that. So please remember to gamble responsibly.
Yeah, what's the just before we leave, do you have any techniques or tactics for when you lose? Like last week when you were 3 from 8 and your accumulators bust on a Saturday afternoon, do you have anything you do to calm yourself down? Do you go out for a little walk? Do you try to forget about football?
Put on another bet.
Yeah, that is the thing you don't do. Do not chase
I normally take solace in the fact that when we lose, Everton seems to win. Only they didn't this week, so it was just a terrible weekend.
I can just imagine Nathan dusting off another of the terrible footballer's autobiography and sitting down to read that.
I'm getting through him, mate. I'm still halfway through Zlatan's. Drogba's, I've put that back in the cupboard now because of.
Do you want me to lend you Leon Osman's?
You said that was really good though, right?
No, it was awful.
Anyway, that's another FBC podcast.
And just before we go, Nathan, you're not getting away that lightly. You are getting the whole three questions. So
I've got zero from two.
You've got zero from two. I'll be honest with you, Coventry's quite a hard team to ask about. Like in terms of records, the records are all really obvious. You know, appearances, it's all a Grizovic. Goals, it's all Dion Dublin.
You're saying they're a boring club.
I'm not saying they're a boring club. I'm just saying that I think it would be a bit too easy. So I thought I'd go hard with the last one. Last time when I asked Greg about Nottingham Forest, I asked him to name the other Jamaican international who played for his club, other than Wes Morgan.
Yeah.
One of them was Marlon King. I'd like to know if you can name either of the other two Jamaican internationals who've played for Coventry. Other than Marlon King.
Marcus Hall?
No.
Oh, no, he's English. I think England beat him. Who else? Who could there be? I'll give you a clue.
One of them only made a few appearances for you because he was arrested as a drugs mule because he had 200 grand's worth of crack on him in an airport.
Oh,
not conforming to any Caribbean
word. Jeez, that's Marlon King. You say it's not him. It's not Leon Best, is it, or someone like that?
No,
I don't know.
I think. Any ideas?
No.
Right, I think I'm gonna have to bring this to a close. Otherwise, listeners will just be here in silence. Paul Hall.
Oh, he mentioned.
Didn't we? You said Marcus Hall.
Yeah, I said Marcus Hall. Oh, wrong one.
Right, okay.
The other one who was a drugs mule was Anandi Lowe.
Who on earth is that?
Anandi Lowe.
Anandi Lowe. He scored a lot of goals for Rushden Diamonds, and then you signed him, and within about 2 months, he'd been arrested as a drugs mule.
Oh,
well,
my word.
He could also be in the Prisoners 11 with Tim.
And Bobby Moore.
You say that about Bobby Moore.
I think your Prisoners 11 sounds like the England B Prisoners 11.
Yeah, true. Well, anyway, that basically sums up the show and also my terrible knowledge of Coventry City.
And it also brings us close to how well do you know your team, because we've all proved that we are not that knowledgeable. Although I personally think if I'd been asked more questions about my team and less about Championship Manager,
I might have shone
a little bit better.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah. Until then.
Bye-bye.
Good, bye-bye.